Warning, do not listen to this podcast if hearing about freedom and liberty is not legal for you in your community. And if so, you should immediately move to a hipper community.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Podcast, a weekly web lab where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati cover the punk rockinist, hip-hopinist current events, as well as timeless universal truths about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, because there's no such thing as half-free. The Freedom Fiends Podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com, the Micro Effect Radio Network at themicroeffect.com, and the Liberty Radio Network at lrn.fm.
Roland for Freedom Fiends.
What's up, my Rothschild?
Chillin', DJ Silencer. Rothschild, huh?
Yeah, that's my new, instead of saying my ninja, you know, like, special powers, you know? The Rothschilds are supposed to be, like, richer than trillionaires. They owed like a quarter of the wealth in the world or something.
I'm not a Rothschild, although somebody needs to do a rap song. You know, they've done a rap song. I need to get that Oprah money. They should do one. I need to get that Rothschild money.
Yeah,
I don't know, maybe Immortal Technique already has. I haven't been listening to him lately,
so. Yeah, Rothschild make Oprah look like she's a homeless person.
Yeah, like she's a welfare mom or something.
Yeah, I've been falling down some wormholes about world banks and the Fed and stuff like that, not because some fan told me in a really snippy way we had to and I blocked him, but no, it's more like just, you know, I'm really starting to realize that
follow the money, right?
Yeah, the 1% isn't the rich people, it's the government, and the government is behind that. I don't know if there's like secret shadow people or lizard people or whatever, but there are you know, there is the Federal Reserve, which, you know, if you got rid of that, I mean, that's what the occupied people should be occupying. If you got rid of that, there wouldn't be money for the drug war and the cops pepper spray and the shitty public schools. And
there wouldn't be money to bail out Wall Street. Even if they're government buddies and they had all the government bought off, they wouldn't have the funds to go bail out Wall Street. They'd have to go to the people and say, hey, we need to raise taxes. And people would be like, yeah, you wish. It reminds me of this meme I saw recently. Maybe it needs to be updated on Facebook. It was like, this is how the left sees the world. And it had a stick figure of the corporations bring the government. And then they said, this is how the right sees the world. And it was, you know, the opposite, the government and corporations said reality, and it showed the two guys together and they were mutually masturbating. Said mutual masturbation. Well, I think the Fed is definitely either included in the circle or maybe it's just paying to watch the live sex show.
Yeah. The left-right thing is just ridiculous. I mean, I'm seeing all these right-winger so-called small government people on Facebook that I know. I've been blocking some of them because they're so snippy about, like, these Occupy Wall Street people are heathens and horrible and violent. And I'm like, most of the violence is coming from the cops, and then they stick up for it, and they're like, well, those people shouldn't be out, you know, blocking the sidewalk at the college. They deserve to get maced in the face while peacefully protesting. And I'm like, really? You don't think that, like, if people have to get to class, they could just walk around those people?
Yeah, exactly. Not only that, but, I mean, maybe they'd have the leg to stand on if it were, like, a private college or something, and then they could say property rights, and then there were private cops to do it. But that's not the case. And then, yeah, there was the situation where a lot of people were sort of standing up for this cop who just sort of showed everybody his bear mace, you know, like it was a pro wrestling match, and then just sprayed all the people just sitting down chilling. It was ridiculous.
That's what it reminded me of. It reminded me of, like, you know, in the fake pro wrestling, before the guy breaks the chair on the other guy's head.
He shows it to
like,
everybody because the whole audience got to
see it. He shows you the bottom
it.
Of it. You know, he shows you it's a real chair.
Right.
Yeah.
This is real bear mace. This is what Dog the Bounty Hunter carries.
Yeah. It was, I can't believe it. Did you see on Fox they were defending it and saying, like, well, you know, capsicum is basically a food product. They're just putting food product in the faces of these kids.
Right.
And those same people that were like, a lot of these right-wingers that are defending the state, which is incredibly square, in this whole scenario, are the people that were, like, out in the streets part of the Tea Party. I think they're just jealous because the Occupy people are
getting more attention now?
Doing it longer and harder, yeah.
Right. Well, the Tea Party people are older, and they've got to get back for Thanksgiving and cook turkeys for their grandkids. And
Yeah, the young people are all socialists and don't have jobs, so f*** them all.
F*** them all.
the left and the right.
The thing that upsets me is, yeah, the people on the quote-unquote left or quote-unquote right, you know, they're always like, we shouldn't do this. We should instead use the government to do this. But they never broach the question of why do we need the government to do anything. It's always, you know, like people who say, well, we need to legalize pot, but we need to regulate it, and we need to tax it, and we need to make sure the cops are spending that extra money to go after the heroin addicts and the meth heads. And people on the right will say, well, we don't need the government to regulate corporations, but we need to make sure the cops are out there having enough money to bear mace the gang members and bear mace the frickin' Occupy people.
And everybody who sees cops out of control thinks that we need to, like, deal with the one or two bad cops, and we need to reform the police system. And for a lot of them, reform means, you know, instead of spraying my people with bear mace, they're spraying someone else with bear mace. Where really, it's, I just want the whole system to go away.
Yeah,
I really do.
Exactly.
And it's like, how? Why does everything need to be regulated? I saw recently that Switzerland just passed a rule that people can have a few marijuana plants in their house. They can grow 5 marijuana plants. Correction, 4 marijuana plants. And I'm thinking, like, even when the government does something kind of cool, like takes away one of their guns to the head, they have to put some kind of smaller gun on it. And it's like, if you have 6 pot plants,
5 marijuana plants,
is Swiss society going to collapse, whereas 4, everything's cool?
Yeah, the difference is one plant, exactly. Yeah, it's completely ridiculous, and I don't really understand it. I guess it just comes from the idea that that violence solves problems, and, you know, maybe it's just what people are taught from very young. The good guys go in and they kick ass, and that's how the movie ends or the story ends, is somebody had to get their ass kicked. So I guess they figure, you know, we'll let you get away with a little more, but we still retain the right to kick your ass.
Yep. I'm watching a squirrel out my window. He's right outside the window on the fence, just hanging out. Like, yep, I'm a squirrel.
Yep, I'm a squirrel. Did you ever, when you were a kid, think, oh, it'd be nice to be a squirrel or an ant or just something else so you didn't have to deal with the ridiculousness of being a human?
No, but I named the squirrels in my yard.
So you did the opposite. You brought the squirrels into the human society.
Yeah, I named one glass. Exactly. I named one glass and one grass. I don't remember why. But they were not the color of glass and grass. They're both gray squirrels, like this one that's sitting outside my window just acting like he owns the place, because he probably does. But
he's got the squirrel property rights there on that claim.
I hated authority as a kid. I really did.
Yeah, I really did. You know, continue to.
Which squares and status say, well, that just meant you were immature and you still are because you haven't grown out of it.
And that's another really weird thing. Why is it more mature to bow to a higher authority? Isn't that less mature? I mean, that's what kids are supposed to do. That's the argument that should only – I mean, I don't think that should be an argument for kids, but I can see a kid agreeing with that argument. Okay, I'll do what you want me to do because you told me to, you know, if that's the answer some parents give, because I told you to. I never bought that, and my mom never stooped to that level. She would always explain a reason for doing something so I could agree with it. That way I'm not forced to do it. I'm doing it voluntarily. But it seems more childish to say, well, you have to bow to the government. You have to do what a cop says. In fact, I didn't see it. Luckily, I'm not, you know, I don't have a Fox channel, so I don't have to be exposed to that. But supposedly there was some guy on there saying, you know, when a cop tells you to do something, you should do it. If you're sitting down and the cop says move, you should move. And if you get maced, that's okay. And if the cop beats you with a billy club, that's okay too, because you didn't do what he said.
That guy. That guy is so square. And, like, you know, I hate to bring up the Hitler thing because people say, oh, that's anti-sacred and you can't compare anything to Hitler. But everything Hitler did was legal, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, where do you draw the line of following what cops do?
Exactly. And I think Judge Napolitano made that point really well in his book, his most recent book, where he talks about, you know, legal positivists. And we've talked about this before, too. All it takes is for a bunch of old people that are in power to write something down that doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it moral. Like in our movie, we said, if the government tomorrow outlawed ice cream, you know, there'd be a black market for ice cream. It wouldn't make it wrong to eat some Ben and Jerry's at all. And yet, if a cop told you to stop eating Ben and Jerry's and you kept eating it, you'd be in the right. And if he beat you or pepper sprayed you, he'd be wrong.
Judge Napolitano is so right on for a state guy, you know, a small government guy. He really gets it. And
I used to think he was maybe an anarchist at heart. I'm not so sure now after seeing his Jon Stewart interview.
I watched the whole thing on TV the other day. And, you know, I got to say, when people like Jon Stewart look at people who are speaking the truth really eloquently, like, I just was waiting for Jon Stewart to say, and I know he was thinking in his head, something to the effect of, like, Judge, I love having you on my show because you are the most intelligent writer of children's fiction I've ever met. That's kind of the attitude,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it really is the attitude, but again, it's completely bizarre world. It's the opposite. It's hypocritical because all of Jon Stewart's arguments come from third grade or middle school football coach teaching you about civics lessons. You know, we are the government, and that's why the government is good, because we get to vote every 4 years. And then he brings up this argument of, why should you trust a corporation or a business whereas they're not accountable to your vote? Well, John, when it comes to a corporation or a business, I make a decision every single day, if not every minute or hour, on whether or not to purchase those goods or services. So I'm literally voting a million times more than I vote for the government.
Most Americans aren't very involved in politics of even like the lousy system that we have that was not perfect to start with, but has been corrupted to something that doesn't even resemble the original.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And everyone's still pretending it's like it was in 1776, which it's not. But most people don't even have any involvement with it to the point where all they do is vote once every 4 years. They don't even vote in local elections usually or pay attention. Or, you know, a lot of people I knew in San Francisco, including me at the time, would just cut out the recommendations in the little city lefty paper and vote the way it told me to. They literally cut out the little guide and take it to the polls in their pocket. And it tells them how to vote on everything on the ballot, you know, when there's local or state and national elections. And that's totally voting how some corporation wants you to. And I think that's the same parent corporation that runs the things like the Commie Star Tribune, isn't it? The Red Star Tribune? I'll get my crack research staff on that right away.
Well, I don't even think anybody argues that a majority of people vote every 4 years for the president. And if you're supposed to have the system that's based on consent of the governed, how could you claim to have consent of everybody that's governed if only half, and that's being generous, of people voted in the presidential election, and the president only wins by half of that?
And they don't even go vote in all the other little elections, which I don't either because voting's stupid. But, you know, if you believe in the system, why aren't you out voting every city council one and everyone there and voting for those little Eichmanns?
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Little Eichmanns. That's what I like. I heard that term the other day. You know what a little Eichmann is? You know who Eichmann was?
You were telling me about it, but why don't you go ahead and explain it for
us? It's
our
a great term. Instead of, you know, everyone calls everyone Nazis, and that's just, it's, I don't like to do it because it's overdone and it's usually exaggeration, but Eichmann was the guy, basically, like, it's not known that he ever killed anybody in Nazi Germany, but he was in charge of the logistics, you know? He was the guy that made the trains run on time that were taking the Jews off to be killed at the camps. Mm. And he was the guy who said, I was just following orders. That was his line.
Okay, in the Nuremberg trials?
Yeah, and little Eichmanns are all the, like, little bureaucrats that, you know, they may not literally be putting a gun to someone's head, but they're facilitating it.
Right, right.
Little Eichmanns.
Little Eichmanns, yeah, yeah. And those, in a lot of ways, are a lot of the real threat because they're unseen. They're the bureaucrats under the bed, really. And if you think about it, I mean, Congress didn't authorize the TSA's crackdown that they're doing now. They didn't authorize porno scanners. The TSA had free rein to do that. It was a bureaucratic decision made in their office without any oversight from the public. Obviously, the public thinks it's ridiculous, or at least enough of them do. You know, you always, whenever the media covers it, they always make sure to find somebody who says, yeah, well, as long as we're being protected, I'm okay with it. As long as I feel safe. And if you don't find somebody like that, trust me, your news director or your producer that edits your story will add a line about how people feel that way, because I've had that happen to me. I've had that happen to me in a story I did on an airport.
Aren't you glad you're not sitting in an airport today, the day before Thanksgiving?
Ugh, yes. I am not doing any traveling for this Thanksgiving. Not because I don't want to see my family.
Isn't today your first wedding anniversary?
No, that's Sunday, but it is this week. Thank you for remembering.
Yeah, happy anniversary.
Thanks.
Yeah.
You had yours, what, a month ago or 2 months ago? Your 5 year.
I don't even remember without looking it up, but the exact date, which some people say, well, you don't care about your marriage then. But it's like, my marriage is blissful. DJ and I love each other dearly. And it's like, if I have to look something up, our marriage is a lot more wonderful than a lot of people who know exactly when their anniversary is and, like, will get in trouble if they don't buy a diamond ring on it.
Right,
or something.
Right. Well, different things work for different people. That's why it's ridiculous to have one set of rules for 300 million people as we do in America. Or in China, you know, one set of rules for a billion people.
Yeah.
But like, for instance, yeah. you were telling me that your biggest advice is to have separate bedrooms if you're married. Yeah. I thought you were nuts and that was complete silliness when you told me before I was married. But, you know, a lot of times it's time for bed and I've still got work to do, or
yeah.
I need to get online and do some stuff or do some research or do some reading. And, you know, if I'm doing it in bed, my wife's like, oh, turn the computer off.
Iggy Pop said in an interview one time that he's married now and he's been married for decades to the same woman and they get along great from what he says. But he was married to another woman for like 2 weeks and then they got it divorced or annulled or something. Uh-huh. And he said it was like, they were living together in this little apartment in the middle of the night. He had this idea for a song and he got up and plugged his guitar into this little amp, like not really loud, but it woke her up.
Right.
And she was like, how could you do that? And he's like, I'm writing a song. That's what I do. I write songs.
I'm Iggy Pop,
you know?
Yeah.
He doesn't even play guitar on stage, but he has a guitar and he writes songs with it. And it's like,
right.
And speaking of songs, we just wrote a bitchin' song, sort of a reaction to the pepper spraying of those students, but it was something, that DJ, what are our names? I can't even remember, man. I'm DJ Silencer.
I'm MC Chore Boy.
Yeah. And it's a cool song. It's the last episode. It's a 1 minute episode.
Yeah. And the inspiration was, it's like a theme song for a Saturday morning cartoon show. The Freedom Fiends Ninja Happy Hour or something like that.
Yeah.
Not Happy Hour.
I have to look it up, man. I can't even remember. I did a whole bunch of revamping on the website now.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks great, man. I love the lever action rifle above the play podcast button.
I don't know if you looked at it this morning, but I turned it. It points to the left now instead of to the right because it was pointing towards our model's head before. I didn't like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Never point a gun at something you're not willing to destroy.
Even on a website. Yeah. We have a great new model. Her name's Iva. She's a Freedom Fiend fan in Italy. She's from Croatia, but lives in Italy. And she I asked her to make a Freedom Fiends t-shirt, Freedom Fiend t-shirt. And she made it and wore it and took pictures of herself and said, I love the internet, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when, like, to do art, you know, to get the record cover done, I'd have to, like, hire a photographer, and they'd have to take it to a dark room when they're done, and, you know.
Right, right. Well, how great is instant feedback, too? I mean, that's the other thing, is we can make this podcast, and people let us know what they liked, what they didn't. People help us out and collaborate with us, like you said, just instantaneously, you know. I could see in the past where somebody might have to do a survey or a market study, but those days are no more.
I know. We sound like Fox News. Today's news program, the internet is nifty. And I saw one today. It's like, if it's not the internet's nifty, it's like they have a security expert come on and say, the internet is dangerous and you should be careful what you post on social networks, especially if you're young, because that stuff will never go away. And I'm like, really? That's news, man?
Right. Well, it's hard to fill 24 hours. And they have some stories that they don't want to talk about. So if they really...
The last time they had any real news on Fox News, not on Fox Business, because they have the judge and the other guy we like, Stossel. Yeah. But the last time they had anything real on Fox News, of all people, I hate to say, it was Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck started talking about the Federal Reserve, and then he got fired.
Got canned. Yeah. Yeah. Now he's doing his GBTV, which I haven't seen yet, but...
What's up, my Rothschild? Yeah, he mysteriously got fired as soon as he started talking about ending the Fed.
Right, right. Although, you know, in the last debate, Ron Paul got to take a few shots at the Fed, and... they let him talk for a lot longer at this last CNN debate than CBS did when he got 89 seconds. And I think he kicked ass. He's getting better and better at this. And they also gave him those shots where, you know, they're doing the double shot, the two shot, you know, where they have the guy talking. And then Ron Paul's like shaking his head like, you're an idiot. And they actually showed Ron Paul like shaking his head like, you're an idiot, Santorum.
Wow.
So good news. And it was really interesting because it was put on by the American Enterprise Institute. It was one of the sponsors. And they're, of course, a neocon think tank. They let Paul Wolfowitz ask a question. And it was great, you know, when they brought up the whole thing on, you know, terrorism and, you know, basically saying, Ron Paul, you think America did this? It was great because he quoted Wolfowitz.
Who is Wolfowitz?
Paul Wolfowitz. He's in, I don't know if he's in a think tank now or what, but he's sort of a neocon guy, does a lot of writing. I believe he did some work with the Bush administration. I forget what his title was. Some neocon guy, you know, always saber rattling. But a little bit after 9/11, he was, you know, he basically said the facts and said, you know, a lot of the motivation for this is our foreign policy and our intervention in the Middle East. And Paul quoted him when he was saying, you know, one of the main factors was our keeping bases in Saudi Arabia, which, you know, the Al-Qaeda people consider a holy land, or Muslims in general consider a holy land. Paul quoted Wolfowitz, and then it panned to Wolfowitz. He's just sort of looking down at the ground like, oh my God, I want to die. Using my own words against me in this neocon crowd.
I'm just glad I'm not on an airplane today. I don't fly anymore, but you know, I slept like an hour and a half last night. I stayed up so we could record this, so I could spend all day editing it on no sleep, so we can get it out Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, so people traveling Thanksgiving will have this to listen to on the way, or if you're at your parents' house and you're really hating being there, or your family's house or anything, you can go in your little sister's room and download it and put on the headphones and listen to it.
Exactly, fiends. We got to serve y'all right. And yeah, traveling, that's when you want to listen to a podcast. At least that's when I like to listen to podcasts, you know, if I'm on a plane.
We'll make it a little extra long for that, okay. Too. Yeah. A few minutes extra. You know, not that everyone doesn't like being with their family. I mean, you probably wish you were at your Texas family's or your wife's Texas family.
Or my Salt Lake family, honestly. It'd be nice either way.
Yeah. Not me. I like my family, but I don't know. Thanksgiving, man.
You don't like Thanksgiving?
I don't like when everyone says, let's all be together, and I don't know, man, my family's, I'm not going to say anything bad about them. Actually, the worst thing in my family ended this week. You know, I had a symbolic death and a real death this week. The symbolic death was I finally finished watching all the S.H.I.E.L.D. episodes.
Ah, and you, got you, that put, you put statism. Away your little boy toys.
Yeah, and then I immediately went back to watching Law & Order Statist Victims Unit Squad Stories.
Okay. But, you'll have to throw those away. Oh, you don't have those on DVD. You're watching those on TV. Okay.
I'll just throw the link away when I'm done. But, but my stepmother died this week. And it's, you know, they say it's bad to be, like, gleeful and say bad about the dead. But, okay, one of the least evil things this woman ever did was threw a book at my dad's head while he was in the hospital recovering from a heart attack she gave him.
That's awful.
Yeah. I mean, she was evil incarnate. And my dad divorced my dad. You know, she basically like bilked my dad for all his money, ruined his life, was horrible to him. You know, and he's a really nice man. And she was just shitty to him for like 36 years after, you know, sleeping with my dad while he was still married to my mother. And then I knew all these great people, like including my mother and my daughter, who died. And my stepmother was still alive. And it made me like not really believe in God. And now I think maybe there's a God. She died at age 93,
huh?
Yeah, she outlived she just wanted to stay around to be mean to people.
Right. Well, I don't ever like to be happy about a death, but I think I can be happy about the fact that somebody who's hurting your dad is not going to be able to hurt him anymore.
Yeah, me too. Me too. So, I mean, I was doing the Snoopy happy dance. Do, 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 do. When I found out.
Nice. On top of a doghouse?
Yeah. Yeah. But Thanksgiving. Okay. Thanksgiving. I have a little story about Thanksgiving and families. Not my family, but families in general. Well, first of all, I have a friend who, couple Thanksgivings ago, he was home and like his wife's cousin, who was, you know, this guy's older than me by a couple of years, his wife's cousin, who's like 16, was there, whatever relative's house they were at, was accusing this guy of having stolen a CD. Like, you know, they searched his stuff and still didn't find it. And they're like, I know you did something with it. And this woman pulled a knife on this kid.
Whoa. Pulling a knife on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Was it the turkey carving knife, or did she have like a switchblade in her pocket?
It got wrestled away from her, and then a couple hours later, they found the CD had fallen down behind the stereo.
Of course, yeah.
But about 10 years ago in San Francisco, I was with some friends helping them prepare Thanksgiving dinner. I cut myself. I slipped and cut myself, and I had to go have a couple stitches at the hospital. It's fine, and you know I can still play guitar with that finger and everything, but I went to the hospital I took a bus to the hospital and got there, you know, probably at noon. It was the quickest I've ever been in and out of a hospital. Within 2 hours, there was like nobody in the waiting room.
Nice.
Within 2 hours, I was leaving with stitches in my finger. And I asked the doctor before he sewed me up, I was like, what's going on? I've never been to the hospital and seen it this empty. And he's like, oh, it's like this every Thanksgiving. It's completely empty until about 5 or 6 p.m. And then we get inundated with drunk people with blunt head force trauma.
Getting smacked in the head by grandma or mom with the rolling pin.
Yeah, it's like, you know, people that should not meet forcing themselves to meet once a year and then drinking to deal with it doesn't work out well.
I guess it all depends on the family. I have no bad Thanksgiving stories. I've got a couple funny ones.
You have great family stuff, man.
Yeah, yeah. I think the worst Thanksgiving I ever had was, and it wasn't even that bad, was my grandparents on my mom's side decided that they wanted to be charitable, and so they invited some mentally challenged people over for Thanksgiving. It was just very interesting hearing them tell the same mentally challenged stories over and over again. And there was one woman, and they all loved George Bush because I guess they were Baptist and that was the thing, so they had all indoctrinated these mentally challenged people to always praise and give hosannas to George Dub.
Can they vote?
I mean, they were of voting age, so I don't see why not.
That sounds like a good plan. Get retarded people to vote for your guy.
I thought that was George Bush's plan. But
Christmas with the retards. Oh, Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving, yes, yes. Yeah. It was funny because this one woman just kept saying over and over again, I love George Bush because he loves women. And I was like, aren't you thinking of Clinton there? It wasn't bad. It was fun and interesting. But yeah, I love Thanksgiving. My family always cooks a lot of food. I have a stepdad that's married to my mom now, and he cooks like he's cooking for an army every time, like normal dinner. He'll cook like 10 pounds of meat, and they'll just, you know, hold on to it and eat it throughout the week. On Thanksgiving, he literally cooks 16 turkeys, and he'll send everybody wow. home with their own fried turkey. So, yeah, so I came turkey. Home with a fried turkey. Of course, my wife's vegetarian, so I was responsible for eating a whole turkey. I got through half of it, so I did my theoretical part. I was proud wow. of that. Not in one sitting, obviously.
That's excellent. You're living like a Rothschild.
Living like a Rothschild. Whole turkey.
Did you know
myself.
That the song? Did you know that the song "If I Were a Rich Man" da 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 from "Fiddler on the Roof" is taken from a Yiddish folk song? That's "If I Were a Rothschild."
No, I had no idea. I thought you were just joking when you.
No, I was serious, man.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. Huh. So to politically correctify it, the Rothschilds decided to commission its name to be changed.
No, probably so the Rothschilds wouldn't destroy the play. Huh. I don't know.
Wow.
Probably just, no, but it's like Rothschild, you know, it back in the day was a euphemism for being rich beyond, you know, richer than God.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
Because they've been richer than God forever, and they supposedly run our money system and have puppet strings in every aspect of our lives. But I have to do more research before I'm going to come out and say that.
Right, right. We try not to be too conspiratorial, but I mean, it is obvious that the money system does not work, and we have a controlled, yeah. centrally planned money system where the money supply is controlled by the Federal Reserve. Interest rates, which should be a complete free market price, because interest rates are just the price of borrowing money. So it's price fixing when the Federal Reserve chairman sets the interest rate, when everybody's hanging on Greenspan or Bernanke's every word to figure out what the interest rates will be. That's ridiculous. That's like something out of the Soviet Union. So therein lies, maybe that's not even the root, maybe that's the symptom and it's the Rothschilds pulling the strings on the Fed. I don't know. I haven't done the research to that effect, but I do know that the problem is we have a centrally planned money supply. So if you don't have a centrally planned money supply, then you don't have a giant banking family that can control the whole game, pretty much.
I think this would be a good place to, first of all, I want to say a shout out to Bruce Chastain, who set up our Freedom Fiends fan site on Facebook, which is linked on the website.
Yeah, go Bruce.
I want to mention something really good about money, which is that,
awesome.
that we're having a one-week sale where the Guns and Weed DVD is $5 off. It's $13 postpaid instead of $18
yeah,
postpaid.
Yeah.
I'll put a link on the site. And we have a torrent up of a bunch of episodes. You should click the little torrent link. It's the little green, weird-looking thing over on the sidebar on the right. You should download, seed, and save them for when we get droned and or the domain is seized.
Oh, it's when we get droned now, not if we get droned, Michael?
Yeah, yep.
You've already resigned yourself to your fate.
Yep. Someone in Sri Lanka has downloaded it, too. That's
nice.
Pretty cool. But I do want to segue, after a couple more announcements, I want to segue from money into money, because I want to talk about Bitcoin and Silk Road. I've done some research this week.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. We should definitely have that discussion. You say you have a couple more announcements. Go ahead and lay them on us.
Spending Thanksgiving with the Fiends. We're making this so y'all can, you know, if you're listening alone on Thanksgiving, you can spend it with the Fiends. Or, you know, if you're trying to ignore your family, it's Thanksgiving with the Fiends. Hell, if you're alone and bored on Thanksgiving, I'll probably be around my computer. You could email me or hit me up on Facebook, and, you know, I might have time to chat with you and
right,
cheer
you
up.
Don't even, so you're not even going to eat a turkey dinner.
No, we're going to do dinner. We're going to do food. DJ's okay. Got Thursday and Friday off and Saturday and Sunday, so we bought a whole bunch of food, and we're not going to leave the house much, and we're just going to cozy up. But, you know, that, a lot of that means she's at her computer, and I'm 5 feet away at my computer.
Right,
so.
Right. Being cozy yeah. with the computers. Yeah.
So there's an article in this month's Wired magazine, which I read at Walmart last night while DJ was shopping. I always get a magazine and walk around and follow and read.
You don't like to see the grandeur of Walmart's market supply of goods and services?
I don't need to see it. I could feel it.
Feel it, just being there, the presence.
And nobody tells me to, you know, buy the magazine or put it away.
Yeah.
That's how well they're doing.
Yeah.
So I feel it when I'm reading. But there's an article called The Rise and Fall of Bitcoin.
Okay.
Awesome article. I learned a bunch of stuff I didn't know. Okay, first of all, I have a correction. I have two corrections from last week. One is we said something about Ruger only making 10-round magazines. That's old info. After Bill Ruger died, they started making full-capacity magazines.
Oh, good, good.
Second thing wrong was you said something about Coach Paterno being the guy who stutters. It ain't the guy who stutters. That's someone else. I actually corrected and edited and re-uploaded the podcast episode.
Yeah, my bad. Thank you for that. I got a bit confused. It's been a while since I haven't watched college football this year. I used to watch quite a bit of it, but all I have is Hulu, and I haven't figured out a great way to watch the games myself. So if you also have an easy way to watch the whole games online, maybe at the time they're happening, I don't know if that exists yet, but if you know of a way, go ahead and send me that. I'd love to have it.
I don't know if they have free streaming audio, but Freedom Fiends website does now, and you can click on the link and...
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends podcast. Freedom Fiends is now available for 24/7 streaming to your iPhone, Android phone, or other chromed robot turd. Click on the streaming audio link on freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Download to your chromed robot turd.
I never really got into listening to sports. It doesn't do the same thing for me, especially football. I love to see the athleticism in football, and it kind of takes the punch or the hit out of it when you listen to it.
I've only ever been to one pro game of any kind, and it was the San Francisco Giants baseball. That's baseball,
yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. At Candlestick Field in San Francisco, getting their ass kicked by Houston the second day of 3 days in a row of them getting their ass kicked by Houston.
Yeah, go Houston. Actually, that's weird because my first pro football game I ever saw was at Candlestick Park. I saw the 49ers play the Buffalo Bills when I was a kid. My dad got like a free trip to San Francisco and free tickets to the game from one of the people he advertised with. And so that was a lot of fun for me back then.
I didn't even stay for the whole game. I thought it was really boring, which is, you know, I was recently had become sober, so maybe that had something to do with it. But I've seen The Grateful Dead 9 times, 8 times intoxicated on various things, various chemical aids, and 1 time sober, and 8 times they were great, and 1 time they weren't very good. Although, the one game, I mean, show I saw of them sober, Deadhead said it wasn't a very good show.
Okay. So. Well, see, some statists or anti-drug crusaders might say, you see, that's because the band's not really good. If you have to take drugs to do something, it's not a good thing. But I would say that's BS because some things just go together. For instance, I do not like to eat Taco Bell without 4 fire sauces on each item. And I will not enjoy my double-decker taco unless it's covered in fire sauce. Does that mean I don't enjoy the double-decker taco or it's not worthwhile?
Statists just think they're right and they're just wrong about almost everything.
There you go. Well said.
So there. Yeah. So, Bitcoin. Oh, I found something out about agorism.
Okay.
That's interesting, which might have something to do with why the whole concept, I mean, all the concepts in it are solid and it's, you know, it's pretty much what we do. But the description and the name of it, the guy who invented that, Samuel Edward Konkin III, was a huge fan of the game Dungeons and Dragons.
All right.
So, I don't know, just...
Is that it? Is that why you're disregarding it now?
Yeah.
See, he was a D&D
fan. I'm not
fan.
Disregarding it. It just kind of seems to explain it, you know? But then again, a lot of people who like D&D like the band Rush, and I love the band
so
Rush.
So, if you're an agorist, can you have a plus one taco you're selling from your taco stand?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, one of the ideas of agorism is working outside of the mainstream economy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes that's legal, sometimes it isn't. Like, agorists encourage hiring illegal workers. They encourage working themselves under the table. They encourage barter as opposed to money. And Bitcoin plays into that. Bitcoin falls under what's considered crypto-anarchism, mm-hmm. which is using encryption for beneficial anarchist purposes.
Right, which I think is a great concept, especially because we always say, oh, well, people say, oh, if you don't love America, get out. And it's kind of like, well, you know, there really isn't any free society geographically to go to.
This is how you get out. You get out by climbing into your computer.
It's a virtual free society that you can become a part of. Of course, it takes a lot of technical skill and know-how to really do it right. And people like Boston Tea Party have sort of written chapters. There's chapters or at least pages and pages.
He wrote a whole book, actually. Yeah. He started with chapters of it in Mulan Labe, the novel, which I felt kind of detracted because they're in the book. I think they should be endnotes. But, you know, I think he suffers from the same thing I suffer from of thinking, I've got a message, I'm going to get droned tomorrow, I have to get this out. Or I don't know if his is I'm going to get droned or even if mine is. But, you know, like, he writes every book like it's the last book he's ever going to write. I mean, he's a brilliant guy who can spell perfectly, but there's often a few typos in his books. And he has said, it's because I'd rather get this out now like this than get it out when it'll be too late for you to use it like you need to start using it now.
Right, yeah. Which I think there's definitely something to be said for that. Timeliness is a very good thing, obviously.
And I have that kind of driven, you know, the fact that I got up after an hour and a half's worth of sleep to work on this podcast, but, you know, I actually got up a little early and you were out doing errands, so I finished watching the movie Hearts of Darkness, A Filmmaker's Apocalypse, which is a making of about the movie Apocalypse Now.
Okay, yeah, I never saw that. That's one of the classics I should probably...
You never seen Apocalypse Now?
No.
Okay, you should see that and this documentary. It's one of the most insane and powerful movies ever made, and the making of it was insane. Like, it's about the Vietnam War, but they filmed it in the Philippines because it looked similar and because they couldn't film in Vietnam. And it was like there was actually a civil war going on like a mile away from where they were filming. They were burning huge chunks of the jungle, out of control, crazy.
What's the gist of the movie?
The gist of the movie is war is hell and it's crazy.
Okay, good gist.
That's pretty much the gist of most war movies. You know, it's weird because a lot of war movies are made by people who are adamantly anti-war, but those same movies are often loved by people who are veterans who are very pro-military.
Right. I found that interesting, too. And I guess a lot of the veterans would then say, yeah, war is hell, and it was hell, and this reminds me of it, but it needed to be done, or it was a necessary evil, and various such things.
So speaking of Julian Assange, well, you know,
love your segue there.
His whole thing, I mean, WikiLeaks is crypto-anarchism, because they use, when you upload something to it for them to look at and see if they want to disseminate it, you do it anonymously, and they have all sorts of layers of protection to do that.
Well, that's the idea, is it's supposed to make whistleblowers that much more forthcoming because of that, whereas in the print media or the mainstream media, it doesn't really work that way.
Yeah. A lot of interesting things about Bitcoin. Okay, another correction from last week. I said that Bitcoin has to be backed by something. That's not true. It's a literally like synthesized out of the air currency. And like any currency, though, it's worth what people say it's worth. You know, I mean, really, is gold worth anything? It's just a pretty rock. You know, it's worth what you say it's worth or what you could do with it.
Well, that's how everything is. I mean, that's not unique to money. Any item you buy or service you buy, its price is based on what people are willing to give up for it. I mean, whether it's gold or a shirt or labor even, that's the way prices work. Some people in the past have, you know, economists used to think, well, something is worth the amount of labor you put into it. Well, that's not true at all. I mean, I could spend 10 hours sewing a shirt together and it looks ugly and nobody wants to pay anything for it. It's worth what people will pay for it.
Right. So Bitcoin is very interesting for a number of reasons. One is because it's the first working digital anonymous non-centralized currency. And a digital anonymous non-centralized currency, you know, one that doesn't have to go through a bank or a government or rely on even a central location that could be shut down, has been a holy grail of computing for about 40 years that people have been trying to do. And this is the first one that does most of what it's supposed to do. And a lot of people that were computer scientists early on were people in academia, even if they were working for corporations or the government, they were a lot of times had a real libertarian spirit. Actually, in the 60s, a lot of computer nerds went and worked for the government because it was like you did that, or you went over to Vietnam and got shot at and had to shoot at people. So, you know, they were still having a gun to their head that they had to work for the state, but they were getting to play with big giant machines and do their own projects on the side while they did it. So a lot of those real kind of libertarian-minded people were the early computer scientists, and digital, anonymous, non-centralized currency was one of the problems they've been trying to solve the whole time. And another interesting thing about it is the person who solved it, who has a Japanese pseudonym and nobody really knows who he is and they don't know if he's a real person or not, is nobody. Like, all of these well-known scientists and geeks and hackers have been trying to work on this forever, and all of a sudden, like, a little while ago, this guy out of nowhere just posted this little notice on this cryptology site, like, hey, here's my idea. And everyone's like, wait, you know, it's kind of, it's almost like
the Goodwill Hunting. It's or something.
Exactly. You know, it's like the janitor walked up and solved the unsolvable problem. And there's a lot of conjecture as to who this person really is. First of all, they think he's British because the hours that he generally was online posting on these forums were hours that are like, you know, waking hours for people on a normal schedule in England.
Yeah, but I could see somebody who's into that and spending long nights working on it, you know, you know, staying up like all night like you.
He also spoke perfect English, better than most Japanese people could, and he used English spellings like C-O-L-O-U-R for color.
Ah, got it.
But there's a lot of theory that it may be more than one person. You know, people think it's Julian Assange. There's people who think it's a team at Google. There's people who think it's a team from the U.S. Treasury Department. All sorts of conjecture, but I could see a team at Google, and I could see a team at Google doing it, like, instead of saying, Google has announced this thing, like, let's do it underground.
Right.
And the guy actually stopped posting, and no one's heard from him in a while. He created this thing, helped people make it happen, stuck around for the testing, and then just disappeared.
Because he just wanted to see it put out in the world. He just wanted this problem to be one that mankind has gotten over.
Right. Or maybe someone killed him. Mm. Maybe someone killed him, because there's actually...
Depends on whether you're an optimist or a pessimist, I guess, which conjecture you'll
go with. There's actually a site, kind of like Silk Road, that I don't even know the name of or know how it would be found, or I don't even want to look for it, but that anonymously sells assassinations.
Ah, yeah. And I think people had conjectured about that for a while, too.
Well, that's in Moulin Labe. That's actually one of the things in Moulin Labe, too. So, Bitcoin, a few things about it is... Okay, one is... People are still making it, but it costs a lot of money to make it, to the point where, like, you not only need powerful computers, but, like, your electric bill is high if you're making it. But the people who make it get rewarded by getting some of them free, and then they have to release the other ones, and somehow people sell them and trade them. It's been called a pyramid scheme, and in a way it is, not a scheme, but a pyramid-shaped economy, because the people who got in early and bought Bitcoins or created them, those are worth a lot more now. You know, like, what would buy a pizza when it first came out is worth, like, $200,000 now.
Okay.
But the price fluctuates daily and hour to hour. So there's problems with it that there aren't necessarily with non-backed, you know, American currency that's manipulated all the different ways it is. But it has the potential to be better than all of that. Like you say, it's the proof of concept. It's the Napster, you know, to BitTorrent now.
Right. And, you know, other currencies do fluctuate on a daily basis. All currencies fluctuate. I'm guessing Bitcoin probably fluctuates a lot more up and down.
Yeah. And another thing is, like, okay, people are still making Bitcoins, but the whole system is set up in a way that at some point, a few years from now, no more can be created and work. So it's a economy that's going to have a set number of coins in it.
Unless people figure out a way to, I mean, is that mathematically true or...
That's mathematically true, but then somebody could start another system using something similar. So it's really it's a limited proof of concept.
The other thing that worried me was, and I don't know if this still holds true with the new information you found out, but it sounded to me like, you know, it is really resource heavy. It's very taxing on your computer. I guess your graphics processing unit is what you use to create them. But there's also the thing about, you know, computer power doubling every 12 months.
Right.
So is this something to where in a year or two, the amount of resources you have to put into these will be a lot less. And so people will be able to make a lot more Bitcoins.
Yeah, maybe to where, like, there'll be an app for iPhones that'll generate Bitcoins on the spot when you're standing in line at the store.
Yeah. But I'm guessing that might not be a problem if you're saying that there's eventually a finite number. It just means we'll reach that finite number sooner.
And then someone will have to make, you know, CoinBit or something else that uses a similar technology, but is a new system. But there was an interesting self-correcting market correction that kind of proved some of the our theories as opposed to, you know, Western normal economics theories, the wrong
Keynesian
ones.
Keynesian or quote-unquote mainstream Keynesian theories.
Yeah, was that someone actually hacked the whole Bitcoin system, and this was later corrected and closed and can't be done again, but they took a bunch of them out, and they got recovered, but when they took them out, it triggered a lot of people, like the price went way, way, way down on all of them because of this thing this one hacker did, but everybody went in and said, oh, they're a 50th of what they were yesterday, I'm going to buy a bunch of them, and that drove the price back up, and it immediately corrected.
Right. The price system is what drives equilibrium, and that is a part of Austrian theory, and so the price system gave the signal to people that, hey, now's the time to buy, so people bought, and then the price naturally corrected itself. So yeah, good example, and I'm glad you brought that to yes. our attention, Michael.
And now, some corporate whoring for one of our favorite products.
Hi, I'm Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends podcast, and I'm excited about Vaporsmith's electronic cigarettes. I dig the taste, and I dig the freedom to vape anywhere the nanny staters would wet their pants if I smoked.
Howdy, I'm Michael Dean of the Freedom Fiends, and I love Vaporsmith's. I smoked 3 packs of tobacco cigarettes a day for decades, but now I'm only using Vaporsmith's. I love the flavors, I don't smell like smoke, and I save money, so I have more to spend on ammo and treats for my kiddies.
Vaporsmith's e-cigs revolutionize nicotine ingestion by bringing it into the 21st century. With Vaporsmith's, you'll enjoy all the invigorating nicotine with none of the nasty smoke. Vaporsmith's are clean, efficient, and tasty. Available in 3 strengths and 8 delicious flavors. Reds, Classics, Turkish, Menthol, Strawberry, Cherry, Vanilla, and Cloves. Go to Vaporsmiths.com for a free starter kit, a $39.95 value, with the purchase of 40 cartomizers or more by using coupon code FREEDOMFIEND. This is a limited time offer. Vaporsmiths.com is run by a liberty-loving entrepreneur, not some subsidized tax-eater conglomerate. Vaporsmiths at Vaporsmiths.com. Vaporsmiths. I'm enjoying one right now.
You can find Campground Pirate Radio on iTunes, the BlackBerry Network, or at campgroundpirateradio.com. Subscribe today. Campground Pirate Radio, when you finally get tired of the same old crap on your radio.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
6 drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies! Jesus. On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
Freedom Fiends, anti-war, pro-gun. New show on the Micro Effect Radio Network, Saturdays from 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Freedom Fiends, Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati's fun and feisty weekly chat about constitutional, libertarian, minarchist, and anarchist issues, abuse of authority by police, the war on drugs, the war on guns, self-defense, states' rights, natural rights, Austrian economics, DIY art, low-budget filmmaking, digital recording, activism, rock and roll, and more. Freedom Fiends. Saturdays from 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Learn more about The Micro Effect at themicroeffect.com.
So, yeah. Freedom Fiends. So, Talk about what Bitcoin is used for that is intriguing to us.
Silk Road, the anonymous marketplace, which, you know, the story came out, broke last June. Place basically, like we're saying, crypto anarchism and libpair, how, you know, the free society can be found maybe on the internet. This is sort of a proof of concept of that, where originally it was mainly set up for, I think drugs was sort of the angle that a lot of the reporters were saying it was for, you know, a place where you can just have pot mail to you, LSD, heroin, anything you want. Basically, you know, the things that should be freely available to us as free citizens or free people, but aren't because of the government war on plants and chemicals. And you actually did some legwork and downloaded Tor, which is the anonymous browser that you have to use to get there.
I would recommend that people download Tor and check it out. I'll link Tor.
That's T-O-R.
Tor is an anonymous browser. It's called the Onion browser because it works within, or it's Onion protocol because it works
in layers.
Within layer, within layer, within layer. And basically when you sign onto it, on my computer, it opened up within my browser, within Firefox. Uh-huh. It's slower than using a regular browser, but it's not only encrypted, it's completely anonymous and untraceable. Like, I viewed Freedom Fiends on it and then opened up another browser and looked at the WhatsApp stats, and it said I was viewing it from Amsterdam.
Whereas normally, whenever I log on to Freedom Fiends, I get a call from Michael saying, hey, are you on the website?
So, I know. It creeps you out. It's just because I know your IP address, and I could see when it comes up.
Right, but I mean, a government, how easy is it for a government to know your IP address and see when you go to what sites?
Well, you and I were talking the other day about, I was telling you about different ways that people could spy on your internet traffic.
Oh, yeah.
One is, and this is kind of mind-blowing to me, is if your stuff's unencrypted, if someone can visually see the blinking light on your modem, you know, it flashes whenever you're doing something, and when you're not doing anything, it doesn't flash. That is raw text. They could turn that into raw text. It's almost like Morse code, but it's binary.
Right, right.
And that's, I don't know how far away. I mean, I imagine that, you know, if they were in an office building across the street and could see through your window, they could probably do
it. Well, yeah, I mean, if it's picking up binary, all you need to know is off or on. So, but of course, that's an easy fix if you're paranoid or think you might be being bugged. You
put a piece of tape over it.
Exactly.
And a harder way to do it, but this was kind of mind-blowing to me, is if you're typing on a keyboard and someone can get a microphone into the room you're in, they can figure out what you're typing based on the frequency of different letters being used and the analog properties of different keyboards, where if you hit a key in the middle, it has a very slightly different sound than if you hit a key near the edges.
Right, right. Which is also mind-blowing, but I could see it being possible. Of course, then they're only going to know what you're typing. They won't necessarily know what you're clicking on. I don't imagine they can tell what part of the screen you'd be clicking on if you're encrypted and using a Tor browser.
Yeah. So Tor is pretty neat, and I recommend people download it and mess around with it. It's legal, it's fun, it's free, and it's anonymous.
Is it easy to set up? I mean, I'm fairly tech savvy, but you know, I'm not a programmer.
You could do it. Yeah, it took me a while. It took me a while, but it's pretty plug and play. And then I actually went and looked at Silk Road. And I've got some screenshots. I pasted them all into one document, and I'll put them at the end of this episode on the website. So you can
very
click on it
intriguing.
And see it.
I definitely encourage you to look at that, especially if you've been hearing about Silk Road and haven't, you know, downloaded Tor and gotten a chance to look at it. It's a nice window into this, what we call a proof of concept for crypto anarchism, or the anonymous marketplace, as Silk Road calls it. Go ahead and tell us, what was it like, Michael?
What was it like? It was magical. No, it was actually kind of mundane and boring. It was only interesting because a lot of these things are illegal, and it's a proof of concept of a new way of doing things. Schumer, who's trying to shut it down, called it the eBay of drugs, and that's almost accurate. It's actually more like the Craigslist of drugs in the way it looks. And actually, it didn't have a lot on it. I don't know if it did at one point, but it had like, you know, 30 or 40 listings, it seemed, in like 10 different categories. It kind of looked like an illegal version of like Craigslist in Wyoming, which is not like Craigslist in a big city.
Right, which, if you've ever been on Craigslist, Wyoming, it is like a Craigslist for the whole state, and there's like three posts, and two are from Laramie, and one is from Cheyenne.
Yeah. And you were mistaken when you said that they only sell drugs and they don't sell weapons.
I was, yeah. According to the screenshot, there was some listings under weapons.
Not much, though.
You didn't give us a screenshot of inside the weapons listing. What were they selling inside the weapons
basically
listing?
Basically, it was mostly ammunition. Like, one was like, you know, a box of 22 bullets, which I'm like, but, you know, if you live in the UK, that'd be prison time. But apparently these people will send it to anywhere. So they had that. They had like a booklet on how to convert semi-auto gun to full auto, which, you know.
Which you could also probably find pretty easily online and not have to pay for somebody to send it to you anonymously.
I imagine you could, but, you know, I wouldn't recommend that anyone do that, first of all, because...
Well, there's nothing wrong with looking at... they haven't yet outlawed looking at information.
Yeah, but looking at anything like that is, you know, going to get you on a list. But you're on a list anyway because you're downloading Freedom Fiends. So there. Yeah, when you go through TSA...
Allegedly.
You should probably rename Freedom Fiends something else on your iPod when you go through the butt search tomorrow.
Or just don't fly.
Yeah.
Although, you know, a lot of people say that, yeah, just boycott the flight.
I'm kidding. You should go through blasting our music and our podcast on little speakers when you go through the TSA pat-down.
There you go. There you go. Quote Freedom Fiends to the TSA.
Allegedly.
You should say, don't touch me. I'm a Freedom Fiend, faggot.
Allegedly.
Don't say that you're a Freedom Fiend, faggot.
No, say, faggot, don't touch me. I'm a Freedom Fiend.
Comma.
Or, you know... I'm a freedom faggot. Only other freedom fiends can touch me.
Okay, anyway, Silk Road.
So one of the other guy that wants to shut this down is Senator Joe Manchin, who's like the Democrat who opposed the healthcare bill and did a TV ad where he was shooting the actual healthcare bill with a rifle, which we know is him stealing Gerald's idea, or my state rep. You know, he's not really my state rep. I'm unreppable because I'm an anarchist, but he's my buddy. Who is a state rep, who I'm probably not doing him any favors politically by saying I know him, but
there you go.
I like him.
Gerald's a good guy, and we like him for the most part. He's a fun guy to go shooting with because he's a trick shooter. And if you see his YouTube videos, you see a lot of cool stuff, him shooting various tyrannical things. But
he'll shoot targets that say cap and trade.
Yeah, but going shooting with him is also a good experience because he does lots of cool trick shooting. Like, what was that thing he did where he calls it, like, virtual rabbit shooting? He takes two cans of soup, fills them up with water, puts them on top of each other, shoot the bottom one out, and it'll pop the second one up, and he'll shoot that out of the air.
Yeah. He also, I've seen him skeet shoot with a rifle, which a lot of people say is insane and dangerous, but we do it out in the middle of nowhere. He uses a .22 and he never misses, so the bullet doesn't go very far.
Yeah, yeah. He also does the thing where he'll skeet shoot, and then... he'll kick the empty shell with the butt of the shotgun and shoot that out of the air as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's like, he's in the spirit and level of quality shooting of like Buffalo Bill Cody and what's her name? Annie Oakley.
Ah, okay.
You know, the old trick shooting shows from the 1800s. Like, he's that kind of shot and does that kind of shooting, but he's that good too. So,
yeah, definitely.
Anyway, so Joe Manchin, the senator, sitting U.S. senator, who stole this idea from our friend, you know, who basically put out this ad when he was running, when he's trying to get votes, he was saying, like, I'm anti-government and I'll fight for your independent rights. And then he's elected and he's like, I'm going to shut down this thing where people sell dime bags to each other conveniently.
Right.
And actually have to go through a lot more hassle to do it than they would just walking down the street and doing it. But
right. Well, and think about the irony here. If he's so anti-healthcare bill, which what the healthcare bill does, it forces the decisions you make regarding your body, what you put into your body, what you buy as far as taking care of your body.
Good point.
He thinks that's ridiculous, yet he thinks it's perfectly okay for the government to tell you what type of drugs you can or can't put into your body.
Yep.
So, ridiculous. But again, I think back to
crypto anarchism.
The weapons part was pretty much worthless when you saw it. Nothing that we couldn't buy at Walmart here in the freer type states. The drugs, there wasn't a huge selection.
One of the interesting things was there were several people selling heroin coming from Turkey.
Okay.
I'm like, really? And, you know, I would never do this. I don't do drugs, but if I did, I would never buy this stuff on here because I can only imagine what they'd try to nail you for if you got caught. You know, they'd get you for buying drugs, having drugs, buying drugs through the mail, I think is a separate charge. And they'd probably get you for, like, money laundering or something.
Right, but they would have to somehow prove that you used Silk Road to do that. Otherwise, if you just got a package in the mail with some drugs, you could say, I have no idea why there were drugs in there. I mean, I don't know if there's a rule, but I think sort of isn't the concept that, you know, you hide the drugs conveniently in some other package that somebody would have a legitimate reason of shipping to you, like a book or something.
I didn't see anything on the site of how they tell people how to do it, but I'd imagine it would have to be.
Yeah, I don't think anybody in the site had told it, but when I had read about it earlier, I think that that was sort of the concept. And I think one of the reporters had somebody maybe attempt to make a purchase, and that's how it came. It came sort of, I think it might have been LSD, you know, paper, and it was like inside of a book or inside of a letter or something like that. So I think the idea is they try to send you something that you could say, well, you know, they were just sending me a book, or, you know, somebody was sending this to me. I don't know why. I didn't know that there were going to be drugs in it.
Well,
plausible.
I don't know if that would be, I mean, if someone sent you drugs, I think I don't know what someone who doesn't take drugs, who's trying to obey the laws, would do if someone sent them drugs. I mean, what do you do? Do you take them home and flush them? Do you throw them away in the post office? Do you call the police? Like, anything.
I think status people would definitely call the police.
I did something really funny one time in San Francisco.
Allegedly.
I was hanging out with my friend Little Mike, and we had this friend that we were in this band with called the Rolling Scabs. It was me and Little Mike and the drummer from Bomb and two 11-year-old kids singing this punk rock band.
Oh, yeah. Was that My Mom Smokes Pot?
Maybe I'll put in My Mom Smokes Pot right here.
I love that, and you showed me the 7-inch vinyl, and it was colored like a scab.
Yeah.
I thought it was gold.
It was
awesome.
Actually gold, but we said it was scab-colored vinyl.
Looked like a scab to me.
Allegedly.
One day we're really bored, and Little Mike's girlfriend lived in this apartment across from the projects in San Francisco, like the crack projects at Guerrero and 15th. And we were really bored, so we
allegedly
took 2 ounces of baking soda and put it in a plastic bag so it looked like a giant bag of cocaine or heroin or something. And we had our 11-year-old friend just go out and drop it on the street. And then we would...
And then you set up camp to watch and see what happened to it?
Yeah, we just spent a whole day doing this. And this one guy saw the kid drop it and, like, got out of his car, double parked it, left it in front of the fucking I Steal Cars crack projects, unlocked, running, and tried to chase the kid down the street, couldn't catch him, took the bag, blocked traffic, this was like pre-cell phone, went across the street to the projects and called the cops on the fucking, you know, dope phone, dope pay phone, and waited for the cops. I wish, you know, now would be a good, I'd YouTube it now, although they'd probably arrest you for it. And that story was completely false because, you know, we wouldn't do that with a kid. That'd be immoral.
Allegedly.
Oh, I was 13 at the time. Yeah, that's it. So
when I was 13, I used to always fantasize about finding a nice bag of pot that I could smoke. You know, when you're 13 in Salt Lake City and you don't know anybody because you're visiting and you try to find pot, it's pretty hard.
Did you like that movie, Salt Lake City Punk?
Oh, I love that movie.
Did you used to drive to Wyoming and buy weed like or beer like they do?
No, not really. I have a cool dad, and so my dad would always have a fully stocked, you know, he'd go to the liquor store and buy the real beer.
Allegedly.
And so there'd always be some real beer.
Allegedly.
Whereas if you go, hey, Mr. Somebody in Salt Lake when you're under 21, you're going to get 3-2 beer, which I really love the point they make in SLC Punk about the ridiculousness of 3.2 beer. For those who don't know, in Salt Lake, when you sell beer in a grocery store, it can only be 3.2% alcohol. Which
it's like an even squarer version of Switzerland allowing you to have 5 pot plants but not 6.
A completely square. And the point the guy makes in SLC Punk is it's just ridiculous because then you have the worst kind of drunk because you have to drink twice as much beer
and
in order to get
time.
The same buzz. So you get fat and lazy.
Yep. So Silk Road. I have a few, you know, here's my feedback if I were beta testing it for the people, and God hope I am because they should be listening. I see some problems with it. One is, okay, it's all based, like eBay, it's all based on how many
feedbacks
of, you know, great seller, delivered what he said he would, blah, blah, blah. But since it's completely anonymous, I believe someone could make 5 different profiles, buy 5 things from themselves, and then write 5 positive reviews. And then other people would see that, order stuff from you, and you keep their money and never send it to them.
Right, right.
Although it does seem like a lot of people that are involved in it are into the spirit of it. That's kind of the feeling I get.
But then again, cops and various law enforcement nanniers are really into the spirit of ruining people's fun and forcing people to follow ridiculous laws. And they have an equal passion for that, and they're getting paid to do shit like that full time. So I definitely do share your same concern on somebody doing something like that to where they make multiple fake accounts to get one of the accounts some good feedback. You were also saying that somebody had posted, maybe from a government agency, that they were planning on selling poison as drugs to discourage people from using the site.
Yeah, and they didn't do it, but they said they were going to do it, which you said, why would they say that? And I was like, well, because it's easier than doing it.
Scaring people, obviously, government's default position is you should be more afraid. So if you're not afraid of something, of blatantly, being free, then they want to make sure you're more scared of freedom than you are.
Yeah. I mean, it's got issues. It's a work in progress. Really, I think all it does is proves that the man can't keep us down kind of thing. You know, that there's just no way. There's nothing they can do in the law that can't be routed around. I mean, a few people may get caught. A few people may get ripped off in anything where you're routing around a law. But it can be routed around no matter what.
Right, right. That's sort of our proof of how the market system works.
Yeah.
And why it works better than any planned system is because if there's a demand for something, smart people who want to make money will always, 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 always find a way to meet that demand. Another example that has come about recently has been in New York, the government's trying to crack down on these roll-your-own cigarette shops, you know, because in places like New York, they have these outrageous taxes. It's like more than $100 for a carton of cigarettes.
Oh, my God.
So smart people realize that, okay, when you're selling loose pipe tobacco, it's not taxed nearly as high. We can sell people pipe tobacco and sell people papers and then provide them access to a rolling machine. So they can go conveniently roll themselves. They're only purchasing the tobacco.
Like an electric rolling machine that's really quick?
Yeah. You go to the checkout counter. You pay for your loose tobacco. You pay for your papers and your rolling tubes. You go to the machine yourself. You enter it into the machine. You walk out with a whole carton of smokes for around $40. Genius idea. I've seen it. They've actually done it here on the west side in Washington State. There are a couple places that do it. But of course, genius workaround. Well, working well within the laws. Of course, the government is now going after them. We'll see how it ends up working out. But I think the point is here is that whenever the man tries to stop some kind of economic activity, either through taxation or through the threat of violence, which I guess taxation really is a form of violence, people will find a way around it. Definitely.
I think we should go on Silk Road and set up an account and try to sell Jankum.
I don't think anybody would buy it, Michael. There's no demand for it. That's the other corollary.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Do you know about the laws? There have been a couple times where, and what it was like, people have written letters to representatives in not just in America, but other places too. And one place it actually almost became a bill of someone trying to outlaw dihydrogen monoxide.
Oh, water?
And having this list of like, you know, it can kill, ingesting too much can kill you, because when inhaled, it can kill you. And just all these lists of things that are true about water that sounds scary. Like someone, you know, they've actually tried to
totally
outlaw
see
it.
That. Right.
Not knowing it's water. Just in a, think of the children, you know, some adamant citizens group came to some representative with this list of demands up reasonably
fear.
Well.
And, fear is what government is based on. Fear. It's fear of the boogeyman terrorists, fear of the boogeyman gangsters and drug dealers. I have something to say for people, and maybe this is more directed at people on the right who may still be statist. Quit being so damn scared of everything. If you're a man, if you're self-sufficient, man up, quit asking the government to protect you, and quit being a baby and saying the government needs to protect you from scary terrorists and scary gangsters. Protect your damn self. The only time terrorism has been stopped on airplanes in America has been by fellow passengers. Man up and protect your damn self, and we'll be fine, and we won't have to worry about having our privacy invaded and our rights trampled on by a government.
You know what I say?
What?
Big Brother is now Janet Big Sis Napolitano. We all know she's wrong. We know it in our cores. It's like Carl Jung and Joseph Campbell mating and fighting over a first edition of Animal Farm while reading The Gulag Archipelago in the dark by the light of my DNA.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I don't even know how to touch that one, but you are right about Napolitano, Big Sis.
I was just trying to be like the libertarian Dennis Miller.
Yeah, no, that sounds like it. Okay, it's very Dennis Miller-esque. Throwing out a bunch of references that are pretty obscure. Some more obscure than others.
Do you know what the Gulag Archipelago is? It's a book by Solzhenitsyn that basically made people in the West know what the word gulag was.
Right.
You know, an archipelago is a series of islands in a row. And he was saying that, like, the gulags were like that, in that, like, the people in them had no contact with the other ones or anyone around them, and they were just being tortured and f***ed with. And, you know, I mean, that's central planning at its best. That's what central planning leads to. And, you know, it's like I've been saying lately a lot to the, like, Occupy Wall Street people is, you're complaining that the government needs to be reformed. Well, it's like, no matter what you do with the government, any government in its purest form, is that cop spraying kids in the face with bear spray. Mm-hmm. That's a government. That's what they do. That's the purest representation and just factuality of how a government works.
It's a monopoly of violence. And we've said that a million times, and it still rings true. A government is an organization that people somehow delegate their right to, you know, delegate their duties to.
They delegate their rights away. They give up their
rights to it. Right, but Judge Napolitano makes this argument that you can't delegate a right you don't have. So whereas I don't have the right to go
spray kids in the face,
spray kids with mace or throw my neighbor in a cage because I smell pot coming from his house, why should the government can't have that right either? Because that right never existed within the people to be delegated to the government.
And that just is common sense to me. Everything you just said. The arguments against that I get on the internet, and part of the reason I'm on Facebook is to waste my time hearing these arguments, but it's like I kind of have to put the finger up in the air and see what society's thinking or what a lot of different people are thinking.
Definitely.
And Facebook's a good place to do that because, you know, you could drop some mad science. You can hear the ridiculous bullshit. You can drop some mad science on them. You can try to sell them a DVD, and then, you know, you block them when they don't get it within seconds.
Well, so, you don't block them and you keep trying and you keep seeing what they're
ridiculous. I block them when they're rude.
And
rude, I block them.
Right.
I block libertarian people who, like, agree with me 100% on philosophy and worldview. I block them in a second when they're rude. And I keep people on that are out and out socialists just because I like them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm trying to work on them, like my friend Jeff.
Well, that's another good point, is civility and non-aggression is the main point. I mean, no matter what you believe in, if you believe that, you know, a communist society and a communist commune is the way the world should work, by all means, work on that for yourself and the other people who agree to it. But as long as you leave me out of it and don't force me to participate, I'm fine.
I think there'd be less violence in society if they completely got rid of cops. And I'm not advocating anything violent. I'm not saying do anything with the cops. I'm just saying, if they just all quit showing up for work, I think that day would be one of the safest days ever.
Yeah.
I don't know about that day. That day might be nutty, but I think if they went away within a few months, I think the world would be a better place. I mean, I really, it's like, what do cops protect me from on a daily basis that I couldn't handle myself?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I do think there would be some sort of role for something that might resemble the way cops should do, or the actions they should do in a free society. But honestly, the majority of the things that it seems local police forces do are prosecute the drug war and harass people who are driving, you know, restrict freedom of travel to collect, you know, revenue. And really, those are the two main functions. There are, you know, when I get stuff stolen from me, they laugh if you ask them if they have any leads. It's like that Big Lebowski scene where you ask them if they have any leads on his stolen car and laugh at them.
I never really liked the show Friends. Well, I did, but I don't admit it. You liked it, right?
My wife loves it. And so whenever she's feeling depressed, we have to watch an episode of Friends.
Cool. Yeah, I watch it occasionally, or used to. There's too much other stuff. I'm bored of it. I've seen them all so many times. But there's one scene I really liked was Phoebe gets her guitar stolen, and she goes and files a police report, and she comes back, and Chandler's like, so what did the police say? They said they'll get my guitar back as soon as they solve all the murders.
Right. Of course, if they get an anonymous tip about somebody having more than an ounce of pot, they'll go raid it SWAT style. So it's not like they have their priorities. Their priorities just aren't taking care of you as a citizen.
And you'd think that, like, if you had an anonymous tip of, I know who stole my guitar, that they'd go on it. And some of them would, just because they want to make another bust and have another notch on their belt. But a lot of times they won't. A lot of times police will not deal anymore with property crimes. Like, there are cities where the cops have issued press releases saying, like, don't call us. You know, the only reason they want you to come in if you get something stolen is they can write it down and hand you a receipt so you can give it to your insurance company. They will not go look for it. They will not look through mug books. They don't do anything anymore. They don't have the money to do it. Everything's collapsing. And the price of postage is going up. So And but they won't allow competition.
Exactly. And that's another main point. The other thing I think we need to bring up here is, you know, a lot of people might say, well, who's going to protect us from the murderers and from the gang members trying to knock down my door? The answer is cops don't do that now. You need to do that yourself. Go buy yourself a shotgun. You don't need to aim well. You know, just point that at the door if somebody's trying to kick it in.
Well, learn to use it. Learn to be safe with it.
Obviously, learn to use it. But
I think safety is more important than accuracy. A lot of people say, well, but, you know, why own a gun if you're not accurate with it? But, you know, I'd rather go to the range with someone who obeys gun safety but can't hit the target at all than someone who's a great shot who's muzzle sweeping me. Whenever I'm out at the place that we go shoot out on the state land, you know, when there's other people shooting, I go up and talk to them and I'm like, hey, let me try your gun. You want to try my gun? Blah, blah, blah. Because I always have some weird guns that not a lot of people have. You know, everyone here's got a pistol and everyone here's got a deer rifle.
Yeah.
But not a lot of people have, you know, an AK-47 or a Mosin Nagant or a Derringer or weird little guns I have. So,
yeah.
Or weird big guns. So, you know, I always go be friendly with them.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends Podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFiends.com.
So, Nima, did you see that music video some little girls made for school called the Bill of Rights music video?
Yeah, it was pretty cute. So the girl tries to steal a car, the main character-ish. It's, of course, a Power Wheels, which I thought was hilarious. She jumps into it, drives away, gets caught by the fake kitty cops. And she's like, I plead the ninth. And they're like, do you even know what that means? And she's like, yes, no, maybe. And then it goes into a rap song explaining the Bill of Rights, which is pretty cute.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think your point was you didn't even know that the Bill of Rights was being still taught in schools.
DJ looked at the kids and looked at the video and said it's probably a magnet school because you can get away with more there.
Could have been. I mean, we don't know if it was a public school or not, or a magnet school or a private school, or even if they were maybe homeschooled. Who knows?
Yeah. But it was interesting, and it's also like, you know, they actually left the Second Amendment in.
Yeah, which is always good. But, well, I don't think it was their choice. They sort of picked a rap song or a verse from a rap song that explained the Bill of Rights. I don't think they wrote it. At least it didn't seem that way to me.
Yeah, we don't know who the song is and can't find it. We liked it.
Yeah.
For what it was.
We liked it for what it was. Yeah. Of course, there's obviously more rights that you have than are expressed in the Bill of Rights, and the Bill of Rights doesn't grant you your rights. Your rights come about from the very fact that you were born and are a human being. There are some rights, I think, that are so obvious the founders didn't think to put them in the Bill of Rights, such as the freedom of travel and, like we've said before, the freedom of ingestion. I don't think they ever fathomed, or some of them didn't fathom, that the government would ever try to regulate those type of things.
Well, I've heard it said that if the founders were alive today, you know, if they suddenly reanimated, you know, if zombie Thomas Jefferson and James Madison just sprang to life and read a newspaper, the next thing they do is, you know, get a rifle and a map to Washington, D.C. Which, you know, you say it and people are like, oh, you're a terrorist for saying that. But it's like, I think that's probably true.
I don't know. I guess it depends on the founder. A lot of times we sort of say founders as if it were some homogenous thing that all believe the same thing. But
if it were Hamilton, he'd be like, oh, how do I get a job in this?
Right, right. If it were Hamilton, he would already be, you know, at the American Enterprise Institute or AIPAC or something.
Yeah. Well, I saw it. Did you see that video called Shooting Cops, or that article called Shooting Cops by Larkin Rose?
No. I'm intrigued, though.
It's pretty interesting. He wrote an article. Of course, we don't condone any kind of violence, but we just are studying this as a social phenomenon that this article exists. And as far as I know,
we do condone self-defense. Is the article self-defense related?
No, this was about, he was basically saying, you know, it's basically an article about, like, when would it have been okay for the Jews to shoot in Nazi Germany? Or when would it be, you know, under Pol Pot or Stalin or any of these people that, because all of them pretty much changed the law to make whatever they were doing legal.
Right.
So people who say, oh, you should always do what a cop tells you, you know, his premise was just, well, maybe you don't, and when is the point? So he wrote this article, it was on Cop Block, it was pretty short. The article is less interesting than what happened after it, and his video on YouTube of him talking about what happened was, there's somebody who is the head of some, like, county-wide Republican organization. One of their members saw somebody reposting this on Facebook and clicked like.
Okay.
Because it basically, you know, what it says is, if you believe in the Second Amendment, the Second Amendment isn't about if things get really bad, you can go pheasant hunting. You know?
Right, right.
And that's the wording in it. And these Republicans said, that's horrible. Our leader liked this article, and they ousted him and got someone else to lead their group. And then someone photocopied it and was handing it out at an Occupy Wall Street thing in Phoenix. And mainstream news picked it up. Like, I think O'Reilly covered it. I know Glenn Beck covered it on his radio, and a bunch of newspapers covered it. And it was like, it was really interesting, the coverage of it, because the lefty news sources were saying, like, this is the Tea Party infiltrating our pure Occupy Wall Street lefty movement.
Huh.
The right-wingers like Glenn Beck were saying, this is the violence inherent in the Occupy Wall Street movement. And Larkin Rose came out and he's like, no, I'm not a member of the Tea Party. I'm not a member of Occupy Wall Street. I didn't hand this out. Someone photocopied it. He said, if I were there, I would have done it and handed it out. But he's like, I'm not left or right. I don't represent either of those groups. This is me. I only speak for myself. And then he said, you know, but anybody who says that this article is bad does not believe in the Second Amendment.
Doesn't believe in the First Amendment, because obviously it's an important discussion to have.
Because it's not the thing of a terroristic threat that you can be arrested for. I mean, this may have changed after 9/11 or the so-called Patriot Act. But basically, it's like you could write an article saying someday it might be necessary to take the law into your own hands and act in pre-self-defense when things are getting really bad. That's not a terroristic threat. A terroristic threat involves like a time, a person, and a method.
Right.
And someone actually got arrested at Wall Street for it recently because there was a video of some, I think it was a homeless person, crazy homeless person, but he was yelling into someone's camera saying, Thursday, we're going to throw Molotov cocktails through the window of Macy's. And that, like, might have even been a false flag, because it, like, literally in one sentence satisfied all three of those criteria.
Uh-huh, right.
But, you know, Larkin Rose was basically saying, if you want someone fired for this, for liking this article, or if you want, if you think this is horrible that someone wrote this article, you don't believe in the Second Amendment. And you don't believe in the Declaration of Independence. You don't believe in what the founders believed, you know?
Yeah, yeah. The other thing is, and I don't know if we want to get into the can of worms here, but it seems to me like the line is when you're being attacked. I think that this idea that it's almost collectivist to say, well, at some point we should all get together and go raid Washington.
I have no interest in that.
I have no interest in that either.
I don't ever want to go to Washington again.
Yeah.
I live there. I don't want to be anywhere near a politician either.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. And I think that that's really the point, is this whole idea of government is almost really a fiction. It's really just inside people's heads. So just do your own thing. Mind your own business. If you're attacked on a personal level, then you assess the situation in the terms of self-defense.
Yeah. It's weird because the way governments are set up, they kind of have their own plausible deniability, because according to them, they never attack you. It's more like the soft gun to the head. It's the threat of the gun to the head. You know, it's not like a mugging on a street, although it is sometimes now with cops, you know, aggressing on people and spraying them in the face for doing nothing, or shooting people for doing nothing. We've seen that time and again.
Yep.
But, you know, it's not like a mugger on the street. It is in what it accomplishes, but there isn't really a point where you can say, there's literally a gun to my head. And it's like, if you're into the non-aggression principle like us, you cannot ethically preemptively go attack.
Right.
So it's a weird scenario to be in they've put us in. And I think it's designed intentionally that way. You know,
of course.
They hide the gun. They hide the gun of government.
It's soft power. And then when they do decide that it's time to raid you, or it's time to actually point the literal gun at you, the force is so overwhelming that, again, we wouldn't advise necessarily fighting back. You know, I've seen it with my own two eyes, SWAT standoffs and SWAT raids, and there's no way you as one individual is getting out alive if you decide to fight back. You have multiple snipers pointed at you.
I don't know what I'd do in the middle of the night if I was awakened to someone kicking in my door and yelling police, because home invaders always yell police when they kick, you know, the gangster that's going to come in and rape your wife while you're tied up watching and then shoot you both and take all your stuff. Those guys always yell police when they come in.
Right. And I'm not even sure if SWAT teams necessarily yell. I'm pretty sure their idea is to get in and out and disorient you. So I think their first tactic is probably a flashbang. So they kick in the door, throw the flashbang. So, you know, if anything kicks in my door and I'm unaware of it, I'm probably going to come out with my gun, which I keep right next to me when I sleep. You know, and there has been instances in the past where people have woken to that, tried to defend themselves, get shot by the cops. The cops say, you know, we're just doing our job. And the person just gets screwed.
Yeah, so, you know, if they ever feel they need to talk to me, they can either drone me or call me and make an appointment and meet me in my lawyer's office.
Yeah.
Mm. That's the smartest thing to do.
Yeah.
Get a lawyer. Or to politely knock and have a fucking warrant.
There you go. There you go.
I like Ron Swanson on Parks and Recreation. He has a sign on his home, on his door, that says, come back with a warrant.
Ron Swanson is just genius. And I think it's also genius that they put him in that show, because they were, you know, they're making a show where all the protagonists work in a government office. And they're like, well, in order to get the, and I think it definitely shows that there is a bigger libertarian contingent in America than there ever has been, because this mainstream show decided, well, to keep from turning off that whole sector of the market, let's go ahead and have one of the main characters be a libertarian who hates the government.
Yeah. It is fortuitous, brilliant, and it helped the show a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it'd be into as many seasons if they didn't have Ron Swanson. He's kind of the sleeper star.
Yeah,
you know?
Uh-huh.
He's far more entertaining than the blonde chick. What's her name?
Amy Poehler, or Leslie Knope. She's hilarious. I think she's a great actress, too. Yeah.
She created the show, but, you know, I watch it for Ron more than her.
I watch it for both. I think it's an ensemble cast. I also really like the little Middle Eastern guy. What's his name?
Yeah, Nima.
He's not Nima, but...
Yeah. He reminds me of you. He reminds me of, like, a dorkier... Well, not that you're dorky. He reminds me of a dorky you that's, like, way more into materialism and hipsterism.
Yeah, yeah. I'm always jealous of his suits. He dresses very well.
Yeah. So, anyway... Oh, you know, someone tried to friend me on Facebook, and it was one of those people of, like, I had to accept his friendship. His friendship. Yeah, right. His friend request... to see anything. He had everything like blocked. And so I accepted the friend request and then spent about 60 seconds looking at his info and then unfriended him and blocked him. He was a guy who claimed to be libertarian and had a bunch of quotes from libertarian people, and under employment it said, unemployed but trying to get a job working for, I didn't know what this acronym was and I had to look it up, and it was like the sub-agency of DHS that coordinates all of the fusion centers.
Ugh, the worst.
And I'm like,
the worst.
Really? You can, like, you can't serve two masters, man. You can't serve the state and yourself. You can't be libertarian, and unless he wants to, like, take him down from the inside, but that'd be impossible. First of all, they probably wouldn't hire him, you know.
Yeah.
Second of all, you couldn't. You know, it's not like being the libertarian working at
You're going to be in a situation where every day you're doing things that are immoral, that directly contradict your libertarianism.
I thought it was weird, though, man. I've been getting more stuff like that the more Freedom Fiends gets popular and the more the movie gets out there. I wish English had, like some languages have, like Spanish has a different we for, you know, if I'm talking about to you about me and someone else, that's a different word than if I'm talking about we meaning me and you.
Right, right. And in English, the best we've been able to come up with that is y'all.
I know, and I use y'all all the time, and it's like I'm not from Texas, and it's colloquial, and it's weird to a lot of people, but I guess I use it because it makes sense.
Y'all makes sense, and I think y'all will eventually be what everybody uses, just because it's more efficient. I think language evolves. One of my favorite examples, it's not a real example, but in fiction, is in Futurama, axe is the appropriate word instead of
yes.
ask. It's evolved
like
to axe. Let me axe you. And they stick with it. They never say ask. You'll never hear them say ask. So I think y'all will eventually be what everybody says. I remember I said it once, the first or second time I ever anchored the news, I ended with, thank y'all, have a great evening, or something like that. And
yeah,
the sports guy from Colorado was like, I don't think I've ever heard y'all on the air. And I was like, well, now you have. So
the four boxes of liberty. That's what we were getting at.
Yeah, we were kind of touching around the edges there. This is sort of an idea that there are four boxes to be used in the defense of liberty: soap, ballot, jury, and ammo. And then please use in that order. So that's kind of funny little.
It's a saying that actually goes back to wasn't Dred Scott? Who was it that first said it?
According to the Wikipedia, It was Larry McDonald is often.
No, true. No, that's from this century. It was Frederick Douglass said it in the 1800s.
Frederick Douglass gave an earlier version. Okay.
Had a version of it, yeah. He said a man's rights rest in three boxes, the ballot box, the jury box, and the cartridge box. And the four boxes, though, the soapbox is free speech. You know, right. Like soapbox, if you don't know, it's a phrase figuratively, and it used to be literally, like you take a box, the soap used to come in a big wooden box, you know, that like a store would get, you know, 100 bars in or something. So you take a soapbox, it's about a foot tall, you'd bring it to the park, you'd stand on it, kind of like a stage, and then just stand up and give a speech. There's actually parks in England that have an area for that, and it's not like a free speech zone. It's not like you can't practice free speech elsewhere, but uh-huh. It's a place called Speaker's Corner or Poet's Corner in parks.
A place where people can expect to find that.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Like, you know, Saturday, sometimes people just go down to see who's at Speaker's Corner.
Yeah, yeah. Which I think is a great thing. I think, you know, nowadays the soapbox is obviously your Facebook status.
We've advanced it. This is
right. This is our soapbox.
This is a magical thing, man, our podcast, and it's getting more and more popular. Our ranking on the internet has gone down 1 million in a month, which is good.
That's amazing.
It's gone from 5,400,000th most popular site on the internet to the 4,400,000th most popular. Gone from 5 million to 4 million in a month, which is, we want y'all to help us get more fans and more listeners and more people in this conversation. So go tell two friends. And also, if you order the DVD in the next week at the $13 rate, the cut rate, $5 off, I will also send you a data CD of a whole bunch of episodes of Freedom Fiends. So you'll have it. So when we're droned, you'll have them still.
Yeah. It's always nice to have a little redundancy in different technologies, just in case. Yes.
Redundancy sounds bad, but it's good in computing.
Yeah, definitely. Good in computing and a number of other things. It basically can mean a backup. It's always good to have a backup, right?
Yeah. So the four boxes of liberty. It's been said by a lot of people a lot of different ways. Lou says it really well in our movie. Lou says, I believe that when the cartridge box is outlawed, the ballot box has very little meaning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which I really like.
I believe the ballot box at this point in time anyway has very little meaning.
Yep. But people have also tried to like pervert this saying and added other rights to it, like the lunch box.
Right. I have a right to steal food from you if I can't feed myself, pretty much.
Basically, or have the government do it for them. The picture for today's podcast is an alteration I did of a really famous painting by Norman Rockwell, and it's called Freedom from Want, and it's a family having a big old Thanksgiving dinner, and it's actually like kind of socialist that it's titled that, because it's a series of four paintings that are called, like, you know, they're four freedoms, and they're like freedom from this, freedom from that. The other three are real freedoms. And then there's freedom from want, which I guess in a sense of we're blessed, we have freedom from want. That's not a socialist thing. But knowing Rockwell, like, you know, it had some implication. It was probably propaganda for Wilson or something.
I don't know if it was Wilson. It might have been FDR.
Yeah, it was FDR. Because Rockwell did paintings. I mean, for a long time, for a lot of people, they symbolized in a crystalline way the American dream. You know, they're kind of square, but they're kind of cute and they're kind of funny.
Kitschy.
And they were hugely popular because they were always on the cover of the Saturday Evening Post, which was like the Fox News of its day. The lefty, it was the CNN of its day.
Okay. You know? Uh-huh.
But the picture that we have is that cop spraying grandma. He's walking down the table. It's turned into a meme. Somebody made a meme generator where you can upload a picture and then insert automatically a picture of this cop spraying pepper spray at whoever you want. And there are some good ones. Talk about those.
Oh, it ends up being mind-blowingly funny to me. Just how nonchalant this cop is when he's spraying. Just like I don't know, it's almost as if it's a cigarette he's holding in his hand, and he's just sort of casually walking down the street, pepper spraying people. I know you inserted one into the DVD of the movie, spraying both of our females.
Yes, on the cover, two cops spraying them both.
Yeah. I've seen one inserted into that famous painting. I don't know if it's from France or if it's Monet or not, but of sort of all the people there along the riverbank enjoying their Sunday afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just walking there spraying people as they're.
Yeah, and I've seen of like spraying kittens and spraying baby seals and spraying Jesus Santa Claus and. Yeah. And then the episode we did yesterday, which is a song that I'm going to put at the end of this cast, the Freedom Fiend Hero Hour Power Ninja Hour Anti-Pepper Spray song that we recorded with me as DJ Silencer and you as
MC Chore Boy, dog.
MC Chore Boy. I made a picture for that of, it's two pictures from the movie of the green screen stuff that we did, and it's got the cop spraying you and spraying me, but I made him like 6 inches tall. Like he's spraying my ankle tiny. And he's spraying like one of the buttons on your suit.
Yeah, that's how inconsequential his status tyranny is to us. We just laugh it off. I put that pepper spray on my double-decker taco, homie, and then I eat it.
Megyn Kelly on Fox News on O'Reilly was saying, well, you know, it's not that bad. I mean, it's basically a food product.
You know, that is ridiculous.
That's disgusting.
When I was working at Domino's, I came in for a run once, and one of the weaker-willed drivers was, like, outside puking. And I did notice something tingy in the air, and I had to step outside, too, because I started coughing. And somebody had just come and just sprayed a whiff of pepper spray in the Domino's just to be a dick. And it is not like food. In fact, I eat a lot of hot stuff. My manager there, his dad was a hot sauce maker, and his idea was to make the hottest stuff possible. He used the same thing. He used oleoresin capsicum.
Capsicum.
Yeah. And I started pouring that on all my food, you know, drop by drop to build myself up a tolerance to pepper spray. And I don't think you could ever really get there just because it's pure
evil.
That oleoresin
stuff.
Pure
evil.
And okay, so yeah, it might be in a sense a food product, but have you ever taken your contacts out after, you know, de-seeding a jalapeno? It's not pleasant.
Yeah, I mean, it's a food product in the same sense that getting tased is a back rub, and you've gotten tased.
Yeah, I've gotten tased. You know, and I can say I'd much rather get tased than be sprayed with pepper spray.
Did you see this article? Man catches 881-pound tuna, but then the Fed sees it.
Yeah, oh my God, that was ridiculous. It also put me off on a tangent last night. I spent probably about half an hour Googling and looking up tuna stuff because they are amazing creatures.
I know. I mean, this guy like caught the fish of his life that he'd been trying to catch for 15 years, and he like got the wrong permit that day, and the feds took the fish.
No, he had the right permit, but somewhere in the fine print, it said that he had to catch it a certain way. He had accidentally caught, or one of his fishing boats accidentally caught this, you know, giant tuna that could have gone for hundreds of thousands of dollars to be cut up into sushi, and he didn't catch it with a rod and reel. So the feds came down, took his fish away, sold it from what I heard, I think they sold it for much less than market price, and said it's under investigation, was the quote they gave to the newspaper.
And it goes into an account, and then maybe they'll give it back to him someday, minus legal fees or
something. Of course, they won't ever give any of that money back to him. It's a pretty nice racket the feds over there got going on for making money off of tuna, apparently.
Yep. And Obama is pushing shooters off public land.
Oh, no.
I will link that, so we don't have time to discuss it at length. But, you know, for anybody who believes the bullshit that Obama's putting out of, oh, he hasn't done anything to your gun rights. Yeah, sure.
So you're talking about, like, the way I go shooting usually, I know the way you go shooting usually, go out to BLM land or some type of public land. And
he wants to restrict that of, like, you can't have a gun there. And it's not even for public safety. It's because people might get freaked out if they're walking their dog and they see or hear a gun.
Ugh. Again, this goes back to part of the ridiculousness of the concept of public land. Because, in essence, everyone is supposed to have sort of an equal claim to it. And the only way to shake those claims out and see what's appropriate is through politics, which just becomes a waste of resources. And in the end, nobody is happy because everybody has to compromise. Why have it that complicated when you can just have a system of private ownership where people can do what they want because they own the land?
So, speaking of, we're over time here, one last thing. West Hollywood is the first city recently to ban fur coats in America.
Huh. That's, I think, the first I've heard that I can think of somebody banning an article of clothing.
Well, but we also talked about Macy's, the hoodies. Did we talk about the hoodies last week?
I don't think we did, but also that's a different issue. The story you're talking about is Macy's was fined a lot of money because they were selling kids' hoodies that had a drawstring in them.
Kids' hoodies have drawstrings.
Well, some nanny organization said it was a safety issue and the kids could choke themselves.
Well, I hear some adults like choking themselves or something. But all right. So I think we're going to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. If you're bored as shit on Thanksgiving, hit Michael up on Facebook or on email. I might be around. I might, you know, save you from depression, talk you through it.
Michael will be on call for all the time.
I will be on call, maybe. Yeah, throughout, in and out throughout the day. So there you go. And I again encourage everyone to go on iTunes and review us and rate us. For the huge number of fans we have, we're not getting that much on there, and that would help. You can make donations. You can buy our DVD. You know, give back. We put a lot of hours a week into this, and we love to do it, but we love to do a little more when we get a little bit of money or a little bit of praise or a little bit of feedback on a public site or you tell two friends.
Yep. The more feedback you give us, the better. Negative, positive, we want it all.
Yep. So in closing, here is our song, the Freedom Fiends Ninja Hero Action Hour Anti-Pepper Spray theme song.
Go, go, Freedom Fiends!
Worms.
Go, go, Freedom Fiends!
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Every Friday night, we'll have an exciting new episode where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi weave their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com, the Micro Effect Radio Network at themicroeffect.com, and the Liberty Radio Network at lrn.fm.
Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them.